Your Bibles, go to the book of 1 John, John's first epistle there, and that's going to be in the back of your New Testament. You'll find 1 and 2 Peter, and right after that you'll find John's first epistle there. And we'll go to chapter number 1 this morning is where we'll be. All right, 1 John chapter number 1. All right, well, while you're finding your place there, I'm going to open up in prayer and then we'll get right into it. Father, we do thank you for the singing that we've already had this morning, Lord, that would uplift praise to you. And God, I pray now that as we come and we open up your word, Lord, I pray that you also open up our hearts, that you might speak to our hearts, Lord. And I know the power of the Holy Spirit, and while I'm up here preaching, Lord, you can speak to individual hearts. So I pray, God, that that's exactly what you'll do this morning. As we walk out of this place, God, that we'll be closer to you than we are right now. God, we just thank you so much for your word and that we can stand on it, that we can learn from you from it, Lord. And we just thank you so much for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for setting us free through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that you'll be with us in the rest of our time here, that you'll get all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for everything that's said. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 John chapter number 1 is where we'll be this morning. Find your place in verse number 1. It's where we'll start. John writes and he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." And that right there is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll remember in John's Gospel, he said, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." He's concerning Jesus there. So it's the same thing here in this epistle. So verse 2 says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins," I like verse 9, "if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Let's go ahead and read verse 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So Jesus Christ is our advocate, and he is the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. That's where we'll stop this morning. You know, me growing up with two older brothers, we played ball all the time. If we wasn't outside playing basketball, we was outside throwing football. If we wasn't outside throwing football, we was outside playing baseball and more than likely breaking windows somewhere. You know exactly what that's like, Calvin. So, what we would do is often we would go out there and, man, especially during the summer when my parents wasn't home, we would go out and we would do whatever we want to. We'd be playing ball. And most of the time what we would do is, I mean, we were into baseball more than anything. So when we would be out there playing, we would pick a player that we wanted to be, that we wanted to imagine ourselves being, and we would go out there, we would swing like him, we would throw like him, we would even run like him. And I'm going to pick on my brother a little bit, because sometimes we'd be out there and it'd be 95 degrees, and he'd hit and he'd go about 0 for 3, he wouldn't get a hit, and he'd say, "Man, I quit, it's too hot." He wasn't quitting because it was hot, he was quitting because he was stinking. But I'm going to tell him to listen this morning, he'll get mad at me again. But I could always pick the player that I wanted to be because I was the youngest one. You know, the other day I was sitting in my office and I was thinking about, if there was a person that I could pick to be in the Bible, it would be the Apostle John. Now you got to throw out Jesus. You can't be Jesus. But if there was a person that I could be in the Bible, it would be the Apostle John. You say, why would I be the Apostle John? Because John was with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry, literally to the end of his ministry. He got to see everything. Jesus walked up to John when him and his brother James were out fishing on the Sea of Galilee. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that's when Jesus started his ministry. So John got to see everything. He got to see every miracle. He got to see Lazarus raised from the dead. He got to see Jesus raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. He got to go up to the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was glorified before them. He got to see Moses and Elijah. Did you know the Apostle John was the only apostle standing at the foot of the cross when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the whole world? John was one of the first ones to go to the empty tomb. Him and Peter run in and see that the tomb was empty and there was no one there. John got to see Jesus ascend into heaven. Wouldn't you like to see all this stuff? But not only did John get to see all that, if you go to the back of your Bible and go to the book of Revelation, John also got to see all of heaven with all of its glory and Jesus coming back to give us heaven. And that's the one I wanted to see, Brother Johnny. I'd have loved to have been on the Isle of Patmos and Jesus show up and show me everything that heaven looks like. You know, the Apostle John got to see absolutely everything. And Monica told me the other day, she said it would have been really cool to live during the time of Jesus and just be around Galilee when that was happening. And John got to be there. Probably the closest disciple of Jesus Christ while Jesus was on earth was the Apostle John. He was always so close to Him. Because the Bible says in verse 1 concerning Jesus, He says, we've heard Him, we've seen Him with our eyes, we've looked upon Him, and our hands have literally handled Him. His hands touched the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw Him face to face and He got to hear the words of Jesus. But you know, John tells us something really amazing here in this epistle. Because you see, John is writing about 60 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. So these people have not seen Jesus. These people have not heard Jesus. These people didn't get to touch Jesus. Just like us. We've never seen Him. We've never heard Him. We've never gotten to touch Him. And John writes this and he says, but listen to this in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you why? So that you also may have fellowship with us. John said, the same way I walked with Jesus, I am writing this to you because you too can walk with Jesus. Not just physically, no, we don't get to walk with Him physically and see Him and hear Him, but spiritually, you certainly can see Him, you certainly can hear Him, and at times He can come and touch you. And you can walk with Jesus the same exact way the Apostle John walked with Jesus. And that's what this epistle is all about, is about having fellowship as Christians with the Lord Jesus Christ. So this message today concerning the fellowship and walking in the light with the Lord Jesus is not for unbelievers, because if you're an unbeliever, you cannot walk with Jesus. You must have Jesus living on the inside of you before you can walk with Him. But you know, when we accept Christ, when we get born again, Christ comes to live on the inside of us, and our desire ought to be every day that we wake up to have a deeper walk with Him. Because I don't know about you, but the deepest longing of my heart is to walk with God. The Bible says that Enoch in the Old Testament, he walked with God. Noah walked with God. What an amazing experience, Brother Johnny, to walk with God. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk with God. Amen. Y'all wake up a little bit, all right? Why is that? Because the Bible says, I write these things unto you that your joy might be full. I don't know about you. I told you before, I have more fun in my sleep than most people do awake. I have fun everywhere I go. It don't matter what I do, I'm going to have fun doing it. But out of all the stuff that I have fun doing, out of all the stuff that I found happiness in, that I found joy in, there's still not one thing that compares to the joy with me walking in a close, intimate relationship with God. Because that brings me joy more than anything that I've ever found. It's to wake up walking with God and go to sleep walking with God that day. It's to walk in close fellowship with Him. You say, well, how do I walk in close fellowship with God? Verse 7 tells you, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So the way to walk with God, the way to have fellowship with God, is to walk in the light. And you know, this helped me to understand this. Picture this with me this morning. You've got two rooms right here. This room over here, you go in, you open the door, and it has absolutely no lights in it. It has no windows. It has no lamps, and you shut the door behind you, and when you go in, you can't even see your hand in front of your face because it's so dark. There's no natural light. There's no light from lamps or anything in there. So you walk in that room, and it's completely dark. But there's also another room over here that's got windows everywhere, the sun's shining in, there's lamps on each table, there's a light hanging from the ceiling, and this room over here is completely in the light. And I tell you that because if you want to walk with God, you've got to be in this room over here. You say, why is that? Because the Bible says God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. None at all. Not even a speck of darkness is on God. So if you want to walk close to Him, you've got to be in that room over here that has the light in it. So to walk in the light, to walk with God, you've got to walk in the light. Why is that? Because God is light, the Bible tells you. John wrote this. He saw heaven in all of its glory. You know what he said? He said, that city that I saw had no need for the sun. It had no need for the moon. Why? Because the glory of God did lighten that city, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That city is a huge city, but it doesn't matter where you go. You will not need a light. You won't need the sun. You won't need the moon, because everywhere you go, God's light shines in it. That's how brightly God's glory shines in that city. You know, in Genesis chapter number 1, the first words that we see God say is what? Let there be what? Let there be light. And when we imagine that, we imagine it's the sun to start shining. But guess what? The sun wasn't created until day number 4, was it? That was day 1 that God said, let there be light. So what light was it on day 1? I believe it was the light of God shining on His creation, and He didn't create the sun until day 4. So God is light and He can shine. And if God were to open heaven right now, the reason every eye is going to see Him when Jesus comes back is because He lights up the whole world. And when He cracks that sky, the whole world is going to see the light of the glory of God coming down. He is light. That's why you must walk in the light, because He is light. But not only that, Christians are light. We are light. Ephesians 5:8 says this, for you were sometimes darkness. I don't know about you, but I was sometimes in darkness, Brother Johnny. We've all spent time in the dark. We've all spent time in this world and in our sin. But the Bible says, but now, once you got saved, once you got born again, you are light. So walk as children of light. Because you're no longer in that room anymore. You're in this one over here with God. So to have fellowship with God, you must walk in the light. And for the next few minutes, I can see y'all are hungry, so I'm going to speed it up. We can go get a bite of chicken. We're going to have chicken today. But three things I want to tell you about characteristics of people who walk in the light. Because I don't know about you, I want to walk in the light. I want to walk as a child of light. There are three characteristics of people who walk in the light. Number one is the person who keeps clean. Is the person who keeps clean. Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. He's writing to Christians, by the way. And he said, if you say that you don't sin anymore just because you're a Christian, you're a liar. Because we sin every day. I don't know about you. Verse 9, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now at our house right now, we have dark laminate floors. Is that what it is, honey? Laminate. All right, good. Whatever. I don't know what it is. But it ain't carpet. In the kitchen and in the living room, we have dark laminate floors. That's what we're going to go with. When I walk down there in the mornings, it's completely dark. We got the curtains closed. Ain't no lights on. There ain't nothing. And boy, I walk down there and the floors look clean, Brother Johnny. They ain't got nothing on them. I'm like, boy, Monica cleaned. She did good. I mean, they're spotless. Well, guess what? I go open up the blinds, open up the curtains, and when that sun shines in, it shines on them dark laminate floors, and guess what I see? Dirt, dust, and my big old footprints. You see, when there was no light on it, it looked good. But when light shined on it, you could see just a little bit of dirt that was on it. And you know, the Bible says when we are walking in the light, that's exactly what's going to happen to us. When we start walking in the light and we get around God, God's light is going to shine on us, and guess what we're going to get to see? That we got some dirt on us. That we got some things in our life that may not fit who we are as a child of light. So when we begin to walk in the light, what God's light does is He exposes our own sin to us. He exposes our own sin to us. And in my experience, this is what God will do when you're walking in the light and you see that something in your life is not right. God will place His finger on it and say, hey, you see it now the way I've been seeing it. So why don't you let me help you overcome that in your life? Because you know it's not right. I know it's not right. And He'll point to it and say, why don't you let me help you get rid of that? Why don't you let me help you cleanse that from off your life? Because that's exactly what God's light does. And I'm not going to be God's light this morning because the Holy Spirit is in the place this morning. He can point out the light in your life or the sin in your life from the light that He has. But the question is, when God points out something in your life that is not right, the question is, what are you going to do about it? That's the question. When God's light shines on it and shows you that something that you're doing is not right, what are you going to do about it? There's only two options. Cover it or confess it. That's the only two options. And what most of us like to do is to cover it. Adam and Eve did it in Genesis 3. They said, well, if we can just cover it up, God won't see it. And so often that's what we like to do. But can you know that nothing is hidden from the eye of God? He can see right past the cover-up. The best thing for us to do is just to confess it. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. That means every single time. He is just. That means He can cleanse us and forgive us from all of our unrighteousness, Brother Johnny. And I don't know about you, but I need to do this every single day. Because in this world is a dirty place, amen? This world you can get stuck in sin. This world you can fall into sin. And what you need to do is just come clean with God. To confess means, God, You said that it was wrong. I agree that it was wrong, so I confess it to You. And the Bible says every single time He will cleanse it. And the Bible says He cleanses it through the blood of Christ. And once it gets under the blood of Christ, it never comes back up over the blood of Christ. Because once it's under the blood, nobody can dig it up. So the best thing to do is to get rid of it and walk away from it. Even when the devil starts to run his mouth and say, it's not forgiven, you can say, I confess it, it's under the blood. It is forgiven. So we confess it and we go to Him daily, because if you ever, I mean, this straightens it out for you right there. If you ever hear somebody say as a Christian, I can go 5 weeks without ever committing a sin. They also have a problem with sin called lying. Amen. Because every single one of us, even though we got saved, guess what did not get saved? This flesh. This flesh still has a sin nature, has a tendency to sin. And even as Christians, we still sin daily. Which is why every single day, the Bible says in verse number 9, you have to go and confess. Because the Bible says He will cleanse it from off your life. You say, why is it so essential to confess our sins daily? Because verse 9 says, without confession, there's no cleansing. And without cleansing, there's no fellowship with God in the light, because no dirt is allowed around God. He can't be near it. And there's a great illustration for this in the Old Testament that shows you in order to walk with fellowship with God, you must be cleansed first. Right here is something that God told Moses to create. Y'all have heard of it called the tabernacle, haven't you? The tabernacle is right here. It had 6 articles of furniture in it. Well, right here over here on the right side is where you entered into the one door. The first place you would come is the altar of burnt offering, where they would sacrifice the lamb, where its blood would be shed. So if you wanted to get anywhere over here, the first place you had to go was that altar to where the lamb was sacrificed. And did you know the first place you got to go in order to have fellowship with God is Calvary, where the Lamb of God was slain for your sins. But this room right here called the Holy Place, it has 3 articles in it called the altar of incense, called the menorah. Y'all have all seen that light at Christmas time. And the table of showbread, to where they would put bread on it every single day. And that room right there called the Holy Place signifies fellowship with God. Because the altar of incense is there where they would take incense, burn it there, and the smoke would rise up to God into heaven. And that is a picture of us praying to God. When you pray, you are lifting up prayers to God and your voice is heard in heaven. That menorah right there is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God, because it has oil in it, and without oil, it has no light. That table of showbread there is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word that He gave us, that is the bread of life. And you know, the 3 greatest ways to fellowship with God is to pray, read His Word, and walk in the Spirit. There's the 3 greatest things you can do to fellowship with God, and they're all in that room right here. But let me show you what you got to do before you get into that room. You see that next article right there? This blue? That's called the laver. On the inside of that laver would be water. And the Bible says in order for you to go into the holy place, every single day you had to go to that laver and cleanse the dirt from off of you. Why? Because out in the world, you was going to get dirty. Before you entered into that gate, your feet were going to get dirty. Your hands were going to get dirty. So before you could enter into fellowship with God, you had to go to that water and cleanse off the dirt from you. And you know, in order for you and me to fellowship with God, to walk in that closeness with God, we must first too go to that labor, confess our sins, and the Bible says He will cleanse us of our sins. So that's illustrated perfectly there in the Old Testament for you, that before you could go and walk in fellowship with God, you must first go to that labor, confess your sins, and get the dirt that you got in this world and wash it off in order to go and have closeness there with God. So the first thing to do to walk in the light is somebody who keeps clean. And the greatest advice a preacher ever told me was to keep a short account with God. Keep a short account with God. You say, what does that mean? That means during the week when you sin, you don't wait till Sunday to come and say, God, I'm sorry. That means when you sin during the week, that night you go to God and say, God, I messed up today. Keep a short account with God, because the longer it lingers, the more dangerous it gets in your heart. And it'll harden in there, and we'll talk about that just a little bit later. But the greatest thing to do is daily. You and I need daily cleansing. We need daily confession. We come to God. And by the way, you don't go to a man to confess your sins. It's just as sinful as you are. Amen. You go to God, who's never sinned, to confess your sins. He's the only one that can cleanse you. I can't cleanse you. A man can't cleanse you, but God can. And that's why we go to Him to confess our sins and to keep clean with Him daily. So to walk in the light, number one, that person keeps clean. But to walk in the light, number two, that person keeps commandments. Chapter 2, verse number 4. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in him. Verse 4 says, if you're saying that you know God and you do not keep his word, you are a liar. Now that does not mean that you have to keep his word every single day, because John just said you need to confess your sin. So you are going to mess up. But a person who never keeps God's word and says he knows God, that person is a liar, the Bible says. Don't get mad at me, get mad at the Bible. Verse 5 says, whoever keeps his word, the love of God is perfected in him. So to walk in darkness means you do not keep his word. Therefore, to walk in light means you do keep His Word. You know, someone who's walking closely with God, and there are so many men that I look at, even in this church and throughout my entire life, that have been 60, 70, 80 years old, and I aspire to be like them because their walk with God is so close. You ever had somebody in your life like that? That you see and you know they walk close to God and you want to be like them. I can tell you one of the reasons why they walk so closely to God is because every day they have this Bible open. Amen. One of the biggest tragedy in our day right now is that Christians no longer read their Bible. Amen. But in order to walk with God, we got to know what God says. We got to know who God is, and we got to know what God is telling us to do in our life. And let me say this, I've tried my best to establish this whole entire year that I've been here. We do not keep God's commandments to be saved, because there's not one commandment that we can do to be saved. Amen. We don't keep His word to be saved. We keep His word because we are saved and we just want to please Him. But the Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you want to know the way to go in your life, the Bible says right here, this is your light that shines the way on which way you are supposed to go in your life. You want to make a decision on which way you're supposed to go? Open up the Bible. It'll shine a light on which way you're supposed to go every single time. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And if you want to walk with God from Genesis to Revelation, it shows you exactly how you can walk with God, and it gives you wisdom on how to do so. But the question is, how much time do you spend in it? If you say, I want to walk with God, and you spend more time doing something else than in His Word, you probably don't want to walk with God. The old black preacher said this, it's time to get your face off Facebook and get your face in the book. Amen. Facebook will get you down, I can go ahead and tell you that. It'll ruin your day seeing all these people complaining about their big toe hurting. It'll get you down. Read this Bible and it'll lift you up. Amen. I like that. Get your faith off Facebook and get your faith in the book. Amen. This book will help you live a godly life. And there's one thing that you could remember. I've said it constantly over this past year, and I always want you to remember it. It is impossible to live a godly life with a closed Bible. It is impossible to live a godly life with a closed Bible. So if you want to walk closely with God, open up the Bible, get it on the inside of you, and walk in it. And walk in it. Walking in the light means that you keep clean, you keep a short account with God, you go to Him, you confess your sins daily. But also walking with God means not only that you read this Word, but you do the Word. You keep the Word and you do what it tells you to do, because that is the greatest advice that I can give you. Just do what this Bible tells you to do. And it'll never lead you wrong. But thirdly, I told you y'all was hungry and I was hungry too, so I'm moving quick. Somebody who walks in the light is not only somebody who keeps clean, keeps commandments, but also keeps charity. Another word for charity is love. Is love. Somebody who walks in the light is somebody who loves the people that are around him. If you want to walk with God, you've got to love the people that are around you. Chapter 2, verse 9 says this. It puts it out very plain. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. He said, if you hate your brother, you are in darkness. So what that tells you right there is if you have hate in your heart for somebody, it is impossible to walk with God at the same time. If you are over here and you just have resentment, you have bitterness, you have hate for somebody, you can't walk with God at the same time. Because you are in darkness even until now. Now every single one of us in here are flesh and blood. Is that right? And it'd be easy for you to look at me and say, oh, I don't hate nobody. I've never hated anybody. I've never been bitter towards anybody. I've never resented anybody. Well, good for you. You're more godly than most of us. But the Bible says when you have bitterness about somebody you live with, somebody you work with, somebody that sits on the other side of the pew as you, it is impossible to walk with God at the same time. Absolutely impossible. Because darkness is a place that God is not, remember? And when you hate somebody, you're in darkness. Therefore, you're not anywhere near God. It doesn't say if they hate you, it says if you hate them. You are not in the light. Now bitterness, resentment, and hatred towards somebody, it does a bad thing to our heart. If you hold that, it does a very bad thing to our heart. And the thing that we do the best is we cover it up. That is the best thing that you and I as humans do. We like to cover up our hatred towards somebody. Because I can go ahead and tell you right now, when I'm preaching this, the Holy Spirit just spoke to your heart about somebody that you either used to have bitterness towards or somebody right now that you can't stand. And what you tried to do was say, hush, I'm trying to listen to the preacher. Don't bring up that person that I don't like. You say, how in the world do you get in my mind? Because I've been there. I know exactly what it's like. But covering it up and saying, God, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't hate them. I don't resent them. I'm not bitter. I'm okay. That's even more dangerous. Because when you cover it up, something bad happens to you. Because, you see, God's love and hate cannot dwell in the same place. It is impossible to experience the love of God while you hate someone at the same time. And you know, I've sat in church so many times, and I've sat on the pew and the singing would get on, boy. And I'd feel good to be in church. The Spirit of God would start speaking to my heart. I've been sitting there when the preacher would preach and said, boy, I really got something out of that today. But I've also sat in church and I sat there saying, boy, I wish they'd hurry up on the singing. I wish that preacher would just hush. I ain't getting nothing out of this. I know what that's like. And sometimes what happens is our heart becomes hard to the things of God. Come here, Davin. I'm going to show you what happens when we begin to have hatred towards someone. Now, I love Davin. I ain't saying I hate him. Let me look at it. Sit down here, Davin. Let me show you what happens when you resent somebody, when you hate somebody, and you're bitter towards somebody. What we like to do is cover it up. Hold that right there. We ain't going to mess your hair up. He's pretty, ain't he? This is what happens when we try to cover up our hatred for somebody that you work with, that you live with, or that's sitting on the other side of the church of you, that did something to you and you're bitter. This is what happens when you come to church and you cover it up. God wants to walk by. God wants to bless you. God wants to touch you. God wants to speak to you. God wants to comfort you. And God walks by and guess what? He can't get in. Because there is something on your heart that has covered Him up from getting in. So you know what He does? He keeps on walking. And maybe the reason that you don't feel blessed when you come to church, that you don't feel blessed when people sing, that you don't feel blessed when people preach and they're preaching the Word of God is because you got something over your heart that's preventing God from getting on the inside. Because when God walks by, God wants to bless you. God wants to speak to you. God wants to touch you. God wants to comfort you. But when He walks by, there's something here that He says, well, He hadn't confessed that yet. He's still covering it up. So let's move on. And that's exactly what happens. And I don't know about you, but Davin, this is about the most miserable place you can be. Because I don't know what they did to you, but if you're bitter towards them, they won. If you hate them over what they've said to you, they won. Because look what happened. Now God can't even bless you because you covered it up. And you might be bitter towards me. You might be mad at me. I don't know who it is. But all I'm telling you is that God wants to bless you. But once you cover this up, He can't. And He'll walk by day after day thinking, boy, I wish He'd just get rid of that. You say, well, I can't. No, you can't. But if you're a Christian, there's somebody living on the inside of you that can. Because do you know how many people hated Jesus? He was the most hated person to ever walk the face of the earth. And by the way, in 2019, He's still the most hated person to walk the face of the earth. And what did He do? The Bible says He shed His blood for the sins of the whole world. Thank you, Davin. Those people that hated Him, guess what He did? He went and He died for them. Those people that hated Him, He didn't just die for me and you. That is false. If you hear somebody say He just died for a select group of people, run away. The Bible says He died for the sins of the whole world. The people that didn't like Him, He still died for them. The people that nailed Him to the cross, He said, forgive them. Work, home, and church is a place where you can get hurt. Amen. But that person that hurts you wins every single time when you allow that to cover you up. Because God wants to bless you every time you sit on this pew. But sometimes He can't because you got something covered up. And to walk in the light means that you love one another as God loved us. And God has never given us a commandment. He has never given us something to do that is impossible. Never. Yes, it's impossible for us. But that person living on the inside of you makes it very, very, very possible. He makes it very possible. The person that walks in the light, they keep clean. They keep commandments and they keep charity. They keep love. John says, beloved, if God loved us, we ought also to love one another. We ought also to love one another. Now, I realize that we like to cover it up. We have bitterness towards people and we like to look at it and say, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. But week after week, God will pass by and say, I want to bless you today. I want to help you today. But you got to do this first. And I'm telling you, once you go to God and you say, God, I realize that what I've been doing is wrong. I realize that I have held resentment in my heart towards this person. I realize that I have hated this person. And I confess it to you. And I'm done with it because it's ruined my life. I am telling you, God will do a work in your heart like you've never seen. He will do a work in your heart because now your heart is wide open and He can walk by and bless you and speak to you. So I ask you today, are you walking in the light? Because the greatest desire of my heart and a Christian's heart ought to be to walk in the light. And those are just three of the characteristics of people that walk in the light. And I tell you this, because I already told you earlier, you can have fun in this world doing a lot of things. I have fun doing a lot of things, but I still have not found one thing that is more fun than walking with God. Because He will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible says, when you walk in closeness with somebody like Him. So I don't know what you're going to be facing this week, who you're going to be facing this week, but if you're not walking in the light, ask God to help you walk in the light. Because that room over here in the light is the best room you can be on here on planet Earth. Musicians, you can come forth. Father, we thank You for giving us the ability to walk with You. Thank You for giving us the wisdom to walk with You. Thank You for the Word that You've given that we might know who You are, that we might know how to walk in our life. And God, I pray for some people that might have walked in here today and they have resentment or bitterness or hatred towards someone who said something to them, who's done something to them, and God is holding them back from being the Christian that You want them to be. God, I pray that You will help them to get rid of that. And God, I pray they'll find a close, intimate walk with You as they do it. Lord, we just thank You so much for loving us when we were so unlovable, when we didn't deserve to be loved. You still loved us. You still laid down Your life for us. So God, we thank You for the great love that You showed us. And God, I pray that You'll help us as we go out of here this week to walk close with You. And we thank You so much, Lord, for all that You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you